For the reading of Scripture this afternoon, we turn to a number of passages, starting with Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy 21, Romans 13, and Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in Leviticus chapter 19, and we'll read the first three verses and verse 32. Leviticus 19, verse 1. This is God's word. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Then verse 32, "You shall rise before the gray-headed, and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord." And then turning to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And we read verse 18 through 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." And then Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And then turning to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The text for this afternoon's worship service is from Exodus 20, verse 12, the words of the fifth commandment, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And let us at this time also read from the Catechism, which you find on page 75 at the back of the Psalter, Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104. So page 75, Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104. What does God require in the fifth commandment? This is what he requires, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it could be that there is among us this afternoon some mixed feelings about the message that's to come. I'm thinking, for example, of the children and the young people. If you have been reading along with the scripture and the catechism and thinking about the fifth commandment, you might be fearing for yourself, oh no, this afternoon we're just going to get blasted. Or as I read in one sermon, whipped by the preaching. And it could also be that there are some parents who are thinking to themselves, that's right, Pastor, just give it to my kids. They need to hear it. Well, the fact is, the fifth commandment actually has all kinds of implications for every one of us. It does tell us to our children to honor our parents. That's first. But actually has something to say about the way we all relate to all the forms of authority that are in our life. Romans 13, the passage from Paul in Romans that we read, has something to say about that, and we'll deal with that some more in a few moments. But this commandment also has, by way of implication, something to say to us about the way we exercise authority. So those of us who are parents, or in whatever other sphere of authority we may be in and called to exercise, there are implications for the way we do so, which also come out of the scripture and which need to be noticed by us. How important it is, therefore, that we hear and do God's will in these relationships in which God has put us. Yes, in the family, in the church, and in society at large. How important that we hear and do God's will, not only because many today won't and don't, as we all know, authority in general is something that is much despised in our society, in our culture, in our world. Who wants to listen to anyone? Right? And the Christian church and Christians are called to another way. Actually, all people, by virtue of God's law, are called to another way. But those who are Christians, those who confess to belong to God, to be bought by Christ and to have the Holy Spirit, remember how Jesus said it one time? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what are his commandments? Well, his commandments include the 10 words of the covenant, the law that was given on Mount Sinai, a law which includes also this fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. What's more, and here we see the Lord in his grace and kindness to his people. He attaches a special promise of blessing to this commandment. It is the first commandment with promise. Or you could say the first commandment of the six that have to do with how we relate to our fellow man. Or it could also be translated, it is the chief commandment with promise. In other words, there is special blessing for those who will honor their father and their mother. The Lord promises to bless obedience to his word. And so let's think about that this afternoon. The Lord commands that we honor our parents. The Lord commands that we honor our parents. First of all, the reason for this command. The reason for this command. Now you might think that the reason is that very naturally we should honor those who have helped to bring us into life, who care for us and nurture us in life. You might think, just reasoning rationally, that it's natural and right, well, Paul even says, for this is right, to obey your parents. And it is true. Indeed, it is so obvious that we hardly need to mention it. And yet, Isn't it true that it's so also so often forgotten? Our parents are our parents. They care, they love, they raise us. Don't they therefore deserve our gratitude, our respect, and our devotion? The hand that feeds you, that's an expression, right? What do you do with the hand that feeds you? How terrible when you slap it away, or when you bite it. It's the hand that feeds you. How foolish and how wrong. But if we just pursue this a bit further, and we say, well, we should honor our parents because they are our parents, we do run into a problem or two, because what if our parents aren't doing a very good job? Sadly, we all know about that in this broken world. That there are parents who fail very miserably at the job of being parents. We hear a lot today about absent fathers, absentee fathers. We can think also of issues of neglect and abuse. But say it's not that, just you in your life thinking, my parents aren't like that, but they really could do a better job. You know, young people thinking they could let us stay out later and longer. Or they could just be more reasonable as parents. How many young people can struggle with that sometimes? How many of us older people can remember thinking that when we were younger people in our parents' homes? But the question is, do we honor our parents only when they deserve it? So they are our parents, and as long as they are doing a good job, sure, we'll give them honor and respect. You see, when you start to think along that line, then to say the reason for this command that we honor them is that they are our parents can very quickly break down. There needs to be more to it than that. Why did God say, honor your father and mother? And Paul says, for this is right. Well, we go further. The reason to honor our parents must be something more. And it is, as Paul brings out, for example, in Romans 13 and Ephesians chapter 6. The reason that we are to honor our parents is because it is God who rules us through our parents. Really, it is so important for children and young people especially to understand this when they are very young. The reason we are to honor our parents is that it is God who seeks to rule us through our parents. Where do we get that idea? Well, in the first place, we can say it is God who oversaw us receiving the parents we received. He is sovereign over every relationship that is in our life. He is sovereign in giving them us and in giving us to them. But more than his sovereignty, it's also important to realize that parents, to be a parent is to hold an office, a divinely appointed office. And this is where Romans 13 comes into view. Now here in Romans 13, Paul is speaking specifically about rulers and the government. The application is very specifically to the government. Let every soul, he says in verse 1, be subject to the governing authorities. But then notice this. There is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So there is no authority except from God. Everyone who has authority and who exercises authority, justly so in this life, has that authority from God himself. The authorities that exist have been appointed by God. And that's not only true now for government, as Paul brings out here in Romans 13. It's also true in the case of office bearers in the church. Hebrews 13 verse 17 brings that out. Those who rule over you do so as those who must give account. And so it's not only applicable to office bearers, it's also applicable to parents, really to every form of authority, teachers as well, and employers, those who are over us in the workplace. And of course, this brings with it all kinds of implications for us whenever we have authority to exercise. Those of us in positions of authority need to understand we will give account, that there will come a day when the Lord God has us stand before him, and he will say to us, among other things, how did you exercise the authority I entrusted to you? As an elder? As a pastor? As an employer? If you would ever hold the position of a judge or some other elected official? And he'll also ask the question, how did you handle the authority I entrusted to you as a father and as a mother? We will give account. And if that's not enough to sober us and to focus us in the exercise of authority, you see, how can you be faithful in that responsibility and in that position? Aim to be like Christ. We have to aim to be like Christ. Because only then will we fulfill our office as we ought. As those who know, we will stand before God and we will say, we sought to do our best. As we saw also in our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only are there implications for those of us who are in authority, but also for when we are under authority. And that's the point especially now. Those of us who are under our parents. You see, when we honor or when we dishonor them, we ultimately bring that before the Lord. So that if we are dishonoring our parents, we are dishonoring the Lord who has put them in our life and who has entrusted them with His authority. That's why Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So that when we honor them, we are honoring the Lord. Do you see how this commandment, therefore, is a spiritual duty? We honor our Father in heaven when we honor our earthly father and our earthly mother. And so this, therefore, is the reason why we are to honor our parents, because it pleases God, as the Catechism says, to govern us through them. And what's more, it is in learning this principle that God seeks to establish an orderly and peaceful world. Lord's Day 39 applies this commandment to all who are in authority over me. We are to show all honor, love, and fidelity to our father and mother and to all who are in authority over me. And Romans 13 verse 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. So I was reading this week in one of the commentators on the Catechism, and he was mentioning how old Christians used to speak about fathers and how they had five categories of fathers. They thought about political fathers. Those were our rulers, our government, political fathers. They referred also to the ancient fathers. So our ancestors, our forefathers and foremothers. Then they spoke about spiritual fathers. And there they were speaking about the church, elders, deacons, pastors, and so on. And our relationship to them. Then they spoke about domestic fathers. And by that they were referring to our relationship to our employers. To those who are over us in the world, in the workplace. And finally they spoke about natural fathers. See, this is the way old Christians used to think about the fifth commandment. They didn't see honor your father and mother as referring only to the home. They saw it as all-inclusive of all authority structures that we meet in this world and that we are to relate to. And the commandment of the Lord is honor. Honor these fathers and mothers. And by means of this, the Lord would establish order and peacefulness in the world. And the reason he says honor your father and mother is because he wants this order to be learned at home. One of the important lessons that we are to teach our children, one of the vital lessons, children and young people, that you are to learn is to submit to authority. And it's urgent, because if you don't learn to do it at home, will you ever learn it at all? Probably some of you older ones can tell stories. If you work in different professions in the world and you see children, you see young people, you see generally the way a new generation is growing up, and it's very frightening, isn't it? Because it highlights that this very issue is long despised and forgotten. Authority? Who respects authority today? Especially when children are not taught anymore, or when they come from broken homes, where relationship also between husband and wife is destroyed, and that has such ripple effects in the whole structure of family life. And now these young people are unreachable and totally unteachable. I was working on this sermon and saw a headline in the newspaper on the internet. It said, father stabbed, comma, son arrested. Isn't that something? Father stabbed, son arrested.
And without reading the article, you just know that this family is so totally broken apart. What a world we have come to. And what a ruin man is. God shows a totally different way. A way of peacefulness and order through submission to the authority and to the authorities that He has set in our lives. And again, notice the promise and how He would encourage obedience by saying, this is the way to live long and well, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now sometimes people get confused by this. This is not an unqualified promise, as if all obedient children, young people and adults will automatically live for a very long time, at least here on earth. We know that God is sovereign over the number of our days. And so He has the final say over that. But He's making here a general promise. He's saying that when this commandment is observed, then general peace and orderliness and the conditions where life, human life, can flourish will be achieved. This was true for Israel as it came into Canaan. How are you going to survive, Israel? Pay attention to this commandment and be faithful in honoring father and mother. But Paul in Ephesians 6 applies it very generally to us. That it may be long, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So we teach our children that there's a circle of blessing. There's a circle of blessing in life. And so long as you live in obedience to your father and mother, you're in that circle of blessing that God brings upon you and upon us and upon the world when we live obediently to His word. Another way to say that is that things just work. And God's law is obeyed. So the reason then that our parents are to be honored is that this is the way God is pleased to govern us. And it is the way to a peaceful and orderly society. But now let us notice the particulars of this command. In other words, what does it mean exactly to honor our father and mother? And here we can highlight at least three things. The first one is reverence. We read it from Leviticus 3, we're to revere our mother and our father. And this is indeed the first meaning of the word honor. The word honor has with it the idea of acknowledging or treating something as deserving, as weighty, as having glory. And we're to treat it as such. In other words, when we're to honor our father and mother, we're to respect them. We're to show them due reverence. How do we show this reverence? Well, maybe it starts, or one very important way at least, is with our mouth. Making sure not to mouth off our mum and our dad, as well as all those who are in authority over us. Isn't this important? How easy it is to sin with our mouth. Especially when we don't like something. When we don't like something our parents have done. When they set a rule that annoys us. Or when we see weakness in them. Or something else. That we just open our mouth and let the words fly. What about our tone? How we even say, yes, Dad. Yes, Mom. What about even our eyes and our facial expressions? Do we convey respect for our parents, by our overall demeanor? And then there is our overall attitude. Being respectful of our parents includes acknowledging and being appreciative of the work that they do. And acknowledging also the responsibilities that they bear as father and mother. Someday having to give account to God. I'm sure all children and young people here have heard their parents say something like, well, you're just kids now. Someday you'll be parents and someday you'll understand. Understand what? Well, understand how difficult it can be sometimes to care for children, but also understand what a weight is upon parents. Those who have to give account. What if we as children and young people are critical and judgmental? How is that good? Or what if we are showing disdain or even engaging in mockery, talking rather condescendingly about our old man or our old lady? Let me give you a few words from Proverbs here in this respect. Listen to Proverbs 20, verse 20, where Solomon says, whoever curses his father or mother. His lamp will be put out in deep darkness. That's Proverbs 20, verse 20. Or how about this one, even more graphic yet, Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Isn't that a severe warning on the part of Solomon and others in the book of Proverbs? And then there is chapter 23, verse 22 of Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Indeed, can't we make special application to when our parents are older? We live in a day, as we know, when many children abandon their elderly parents. When it's common enough to hear about nursing homes where older people are in their beds or in their chairs and never, or at least hardly ever, hear from their own sons and daughters. And what about Solomon's word? Do not despise your mother when she is old. Well, thankfully, we don't hear of that so much in our own settings and environments. And we have an institution like Shalom and others so wonderful to help us care for our parents. But isn't that what reverence includes? That we do our utmost also when they are old, when they are weak, when they are very needy, that we do our utmost to bless them, to care for them. Yes, like we read from Leviticus 23, to rise even before the gray-headed and to show respect for an old man. That's a duty that belongs to the fifth commandment. And thus to mark those who claim to be Christ's. But not only reverence, then there is obedience. And Paul makes this application of the word honor. He applies honor to obedience in Ephesians 6 verse 1 when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now what does it mean to obey? I think I have shared with you before the way we understand that and talk of that in our house also. To obey means to do what mom and dad say all the way, right away, and with a happy heart. And when you put it like that, isn't it challenging? Children and young people, let me ask you, isn't it challenging sometimes to obey? I mean, really to obey, because sometimes you'll do what they say all the way, but not right away. Or you might even do it all the way and right away, but not with a happy heart. How is that then obedience? How is that then pleasing to your parents, never mind to the living God? So let the children answer for a moment, just in your own hearts. Do you obey your parents? Do you seek to obey your parents? When they tell you it's time for bed? When they tell you to go out and play? When they tell you to sit still? No more fighting? Young people, when they tell you to be home at such and such a time? When they lay out before you the house rules and they say, this is what we expect of you. These are the responsibilities that belong to you. Even as you receive privileges in our house and under our roof, these are the responsibilities that we expect of you. What is your response to them? All the way, right away, and with a happy heart? Of course, the relationship changes when we become older, when we leave the house and we are no longer children under their care, when we are independent adults. And at that point, children are not, or young, we're not obligated anymore to our parents to obey them. And parents may not compel obedience. They need to recognize that the relationship has changed. But honor remains. Hopefully we have learned to obey. And hopefully we learn also to respect their opinions and convictions. And to treat them as such. Not always doing what they say. We're independent, we're accountable to God. But still recognizing the ties and the relationship. So reverence, obedience, and then patience. Patience. Because it's a fact, parents aren't perfect. Everyone in authority, not a single one of them is perfect. Mistakes are made. Weaknesses show up. And this is because we are all sinners. And we all struggle. And so it is the case in every authority in the land, whether someone is a believer or not, which means that as those who are under authority, in whatever sphere that may be, inevitably we will meet weaknesses. And there will come, therefore, points of testing for us. In the home, those points of testing may come even every day. In the world, with our employers, points of testing. Difficult and unreasonable managers and bosses. Yes, and in the church too. When office bearers in the church, even with their high calling, can come short and disappoint. And then there is, of course, our government and all the disappointments that we experience with them. Points of testing, however, meet us right here. And Paul writes in Colossians 3 about bearing with one another. How that is to characterize new people. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the elect of God, are to put on tender mercies and meekness and all of that, and to bear with one another. Now you think about that. If to bear with one another is to characterize the fellowship of the people of God, then let it happen especially also in our families. Meaning let children learn when they are young to be gracious and patient. Yes, and also when you are older, as young people, and your parents are older, learn and exercise. Seek it from God to be especially patient with your parents. That does not mean, also when you get out of the house, that does not mean that you bow to every whim and idea of your parents. But you are to be patient with them. You are to bear with them. You are to endure, as one commentator said, you are to endure a lot. And you know, one help to that is remembering that others have to be patient with you too. If children would only realize how patient their parents have to be when they are very, very tiny and crying every 2 or 3 hours, needing to be fed, not wanting to go to sleep. If children would only remember how patient their parents have been. And if parents, also needing to be patient with their children in later life, would remember that someday the day may come when their children will have to be patient with them as parents. When they become old as parents and are not even able to care for themselves, oh, how they will need the patient care of their children. Patience, therefore, needs to mark all our relationships, which is why Paul says, bearing with one another. But let it start in the home with children and their parents. Are you patient with your mom, with your dad, as you grow up under their care? After you've left the house and they call you wanting to find out about how you are doing, and you might say to yourself, what an interference, that I'd like them to leave me alone once in a while. Well, yes, maybe they can sometimes learn that, but can you also learn patience? Well, reverence, obedience, and patience. How can we keep all this? How can we keep all this at home? How can we keep all this in the world? As you listen this afternoon, maybe you are convicted. Indeed, who is not convicted? Children and young people, are you so good at this? Older ones, maybe you remember when you were young and growing up, were you so good at this? And what about even our overall attitude to authority in the world? How easy it is to complain about those who are over us and to be very negative and disparaging and even rebellious towards them. And then there is our own exercise of authority and our own sense of shortcoming in relation to that. Well, how in the world do we ever match up to this commandment of honoring our father and our mother? That leads us to the last point of this sermon this afternoon, the secret to keeping this commandment. And there are two things that we can say here. The first thing, and it's wonderful really, the first thing is to look to the Savior, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Because how He kept this commandment. Pilate said at the end of his life, there is no fault in Him. And there really wasn't. Yes, also in relation to the fifth commandment. If you think just of the way Jesus honored His earthly mother and father. We have two examples of that. In the scriptures, the one is in Luke 2, verse 51, after Mary found 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. 12-year-old Jesus in the temple, dealing with or talking with the leaders there, and Mary quite upset, and Son, why have you done this for us or to us? And Jesus responding, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? He was referring to his heavenly Father. But then we read here in Luke 2, verse 51, these amazing words. Jesus went down with them, that's Mary and Joseph, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. He was subject to them. What does that mean? It means he revered, he reverenced his earthly mother and father. He respected them with his words, in his tone, with his facial expression, in his overall attitude. He manifested this attitude of respect, reverence for mom and dad. And likewise, he obeyed them all the way, right away, and with a happy heart. He was subject to them. He submitted himself to them. And oh boy, he would have had to be patient, because he was sinless and they were sinful, and that must have come out in different ways. Well, we know that it came out even from Mary. But he was patient. Oh, how he was patient. And then the other incident in his life where he reflected obedience to the fifth commandment is when he was on the cross. And we read about that in John 19. Imagine that, Jesus on the cross there, suffering unspeakable agony and pain, but seeing his mother there near the cross beside John, the disciple whom he loved. And you remember how he said at one point, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." What was he doing? He was an adult son caring for his aged mother. Beautiful. Just beautiful on the part of the Lord Jesus. And how it highlights how he was a man here on earth who esteemed God's law so highly and committed himself to obeying it in every respect. Yes, honoring even sinful Mary and Joseph. But when we talk about the obedience of the Lord Jesus to this commandment, we have to think also of his relationship to his heavenly Father. And what a relationship that was. What intimacy they enjoyed. What honor the Son gave to the Father. How he reverenced and respected his Father at every turn. And then especially how he submitted himself to his Father's will and way. And how he was obedient to his Father, even when his Father's will for him was for him to go to the cross and to suffer as if he were a rebel son. Remember that from Deuteronomy 21? What to do with a rebellious, stubborn, gluttonous son who just won't listen? Stone him and remove the evil from you. That was the law in Old Testament Israel. What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God? Well, he was not just stoned, but he was crucified. He was not just killed, but he was cursed. And he was doing that in obedience to his Father. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. And why was he doing that? Well, he was doing it because he was taking the place of people like you and me, who in our heart and with our life show so often dishonor for our father and mother and for all those who are in authority over us, especially and ultimately for God, our Father. Isn't it true? Every one of us we are all rebellious sons and daughters by nature. And we deserve that judgment that Deuteronomy speaks about. We deserve to be dragged before the Lord and accused of being rebels and then stoned and cast forever into eternal hell. We deserve it. But there is one who has come, even the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has taken the place of his people so that we might find cleansing and righteousness in him. And the call, therefore, the secret to keeping the fifth commandment is to look to him who has kept it for us and who has paid in full all our transgressions against it. We don't obey this commandment, not truly, apart from faith in this Savior. So look to the Savior. Is that something you do? Is that something you have learned in your life, also in relationship to this commandment? And then the second point, or the second secret related is goes like this. Walk in the Spirit. So look to the Savior
and walk in the Spirit. Why do I say that? Well, I say that because of Ephesians 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, that's an instruction, but there's a heading before that instruction back in chapter 5 verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then out of that comes all of these other instructions through the rest of chapter 5 and on into chapter 6. By which point Paul is making that we cannot do any of these things apart from the Holy Spirit. And the key to doing them is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? It means to be open to the Spirit. It means to be calling on the Spirit. It means to be loving what the Spirit loves. Yes, to be looking to Christ, because the Spirit focuses all the attention upon Christ. And it is through the Spirit and His ministry of Christ in us that we receive strength and grace to obey. The same point is made in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks there about the works of the flesh. And he lists so many things there. He talks about in verse 20, idolatry and sorcery and hatred and contentions and jealousies and outbursts of wrath and selfish ambitions. Well, those are the things that so often destroy relationships between mothers, fathers and children, right? Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. I'm not going to listen to you. I have my own ideas. And Paul says all of that, those things are the works of the flesh. How do you combat the works of the flesh? Verse 16 of Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And verse 24. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, asking for His help, following His word, and keeping in step with His guidance. Well, how important that we take seriously this commandment. It's striking to read in Scripture that disobedience to the fifth commandment is especially also a fruit of God giving man over to his sinful ways. And also disobedience to this commandment is a mark of the last days. Let me quote you two texts in that respect. Romans 1 verse 28, where Paul says that God gave them over. And he's talking about all those who did not want to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, including, Romans 1 verse 30, being disobedient to parents. So when we indulge in disobedience, when that is our life, our overall spirit, then that is a mark of being given over to our own sinful fleshly ways. And right at that point, the call of God to us, if we're living in that way, would be to repent. And to turn from the wrath to come. To turn back to the Lord and to His Son, in whom alone is life. And the way also to live uprightly before Him. And then there's 2 Timothy 3 verse 3. What will mark the last days? What will perilous times include? People will be disobedient to parents. Do you see therefore how important it is that we hear and heed God's word in relationship to our father and mother? You might think this commandment, it's one of the lesser commandments. The sixth commandment, the seventh commandment, the ninth commandment. Yes, all those commandments are very urgent. But God, by His word, would say to us, also this one, especially this one. There's a blessing to be had for disobedience. And oh, if you disobey, what curse will come into your life. And how you will find being left out at the end when the Lord returns. Therefore, if we are to be godly, and if we are to stand out, let it be through living obediently to all of God's law. Also this fifth commandment, honoring our father and mother. And doing so in the power of the Lord Jesus and by His Holy Spirit. Well, that's the only way. It's sure a great way. Amen.